Good evening and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking out the time to attend this call. Please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Bhanu Chauhan, and I'm part of the Global Financial Desk at Barclays Bank. We are pleased to host today's call on behalf of Adani Ports and Special Economic Zone Limited, or APSEZ, which is the largest transport utility in India. The company has recently announced the results for the fourth quarter as well as the fiscal year ending 31st March 2022. And as historically, the company has set up today's call for income investors to update them both on operations as well as the financial performance for the recent period. Post the management update, we will also have a Q&A session on this call for the participants. The company then will have the following senior representatives: Mr. Subrat Tripathi, who is the CEO for the ports vertical; Mr. Vikram Jaisinghani, the CEO for the logistics vertical; and we have Mr. Charanjit Singh, who is the head ESG and investor relations. Without any delay, we will now hand it over to the company management to provide the business and the financial performance update. Thank you.
A very good evening to all the participants. Welcome to the conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance of Adani Port and SEZ Limited for the quarter and year ending 31st March 2022. Let me start with the highlights of FY22 and refreshing memories on our strategic vision for APSEZ. 2 years back, when we embarked on our journey of making APSEZ the largest port company globally, it was clear that the strategy to achieve this stupendous feat had to be customer-centric. Given our 2 decades of experience in the port business, we were aware of the customer pain points in the logistics supply chain, which formed the building blocks of our decision to transform APSEZ from a port company to a transport utility. Our efforts for the last decade provided us with a robust foundation for vaulting into this new growth path. In FY21 and FY22, while we continued our journey for port expansion to drive growth and also mitigate the business concentration risk, but alongside, we developed a roadmap for business transformation and started to action the plan of building our logistics capability. APSEZ's transformational journey reached an inflection point in FY22 with various successful acquisitions and some key project wins. First, we gained 100% control of Krishnapatnam Port through the purchase of the balanced 25% stake from the outgoing promoter. Second, we acquired 41.9% stake in Gangavaram Port and signed for an agreement with the promoters for the acquisition of balanced 58.1% stake post the NCLT approval. Third was our acquisition for Sarguja Rail Corridor for a 70-kilometer railway line asset in the state of Chhattisgarh. Fourth, APSEZ received LOI from Haldia Port Trust for a 5 million ton per annum bulk terminal. And fifth, APSEZ won the bid for a greenfield deep sea port project at Tajpur, West Bengal. These acquisitions and projects fit well with our strategy of focusing on the East Coast, not only from a portfolio diversification perspective, but also establishing our presence in regions with high growth. We recently made another strategic investment with acquisition of India's leading third-party marine service provider, Ocean Sparkle Limited, that has 94 seaworthy vessels, including 75 tugs. With 27 years of operations, OSL has presence across 28 ports in India and experience of working in key global marine hubs. All these acquisitions implied an investment of around Rs. 11,400 crores by APSEZ and alongside an organic capex of around Rs. 3,600 crores, we successfully managed to keep our net debt to EBITDA ratio unchanged at 3.4x. The year also recorded some operational feats by APSEZ team, and we managed to set new benchmarks for India's maritime industry. First, it was a record year of cargo volumes for APSEZ as we crossed 300 million metric ton mark and achieved a cargo throughput of 312 million metric ton, which also includes 150 million metric ton of cargo handling at Mundra Port, first ever by a commercial port in the country. Secondly, APSEZ recorded its highest ever container volume of 8.2 million TEUs, with Mundra alone recording container volume of 6.5 million TEUs, which is 15% higher than its nearest competitor. Another major milestone for FY22 was the visibility on commissioning of various logistics assets, thereby providing sufficient surety that APSEZ is on track to achieve its announced capacity targets. These include investments in 100 trains, 8 operational MMLPs, and total train silo capacity of around 1.2 million metric tons by FY23. With 5 million square feet of warehousing capacity under construction operation, we are on track to achieve our guided capacity of 60 million square feet. Another noteworthy achievement of the year are two strategic partnerships. Firstly, a joint venture with John Keel's Holding and Sri Lankan Port Authority for construction of Colombo West International Terminal 2. And secondly, a partnership with Flipkart for the construction of over 0.5 million square feet fulfillment center in the upcoming logistics hub at Mumbai. Both these partnerships are ensuring sustainable business growth for APSEZ. APSEZ continues to be guided by the adopted ESG framework to drive sustainable growth. We continued working towards our goal of making our ports carbon neutral by 2025. Some actions undertaken to achieve the objective include electrification of rubber tire gantries, electrification of mobile harbor cranes, purchase of electric internal transfer vehicles, and building renewable electricity capacity. To support our carbon neutrality goal, we are also doubling our mangrove plantation target to 2,000 hectares. We will finalize our net zero plan during the year in line with the commitment made by the Science Based Target Initiative. In November last year, the APSEZ board, based on representation from the ESG and risk committee, had decided to exit from Myanmar. Thereafter, we announced a timeline of June 2022 to action the board's decision. My team has worked very hard to ensure that we deliver on this guided timeline. I am pleased to announce that we have recently signed an agreement for sale of our Myanmar assets. The share purchase agreement signed with the buyer will enable us to broadly recover the investment that APSEZ has made in the project. The deal will be concluded after receipt of proceeds in line with the agreed conditions precedent. Let me now invite Subrat, Vikram and Charanjit for a brief on the operational and ESG performance. Thereafter, I will run you through the financials. Over to you, Subrat.
Hello everyone on the call. Let me give you an overview of the performance at the port vertical. I will start with cargo volumes. APSEZ continues to outperform all India cargo volume growth and in FY22 handled a cargo volume of 312 million metric tons, a growth of 26% as against 5% growth registered by all India ports. The said cargo volume of 312 million metric tons includes 30 million metric tons handled by Gangavaram Port. Now to add on to what Mr. Karan Adani said earlier, it is a pleasure to see Mundra Port continuing its journey towards glory and set new benchmarks at every turning point. The team at Mundra deserve a special mention for such a spectacular achievement, and I'm sure they're ready for achieving newer heights and win further laurels for APSEZ. Coming to performance of Mundra Port, it grew by 4% in cargo volume during FY22 contributed 52% to the cargo basket, which is higher by 10 percentage points. This growth is primarily due to our strategic focus on achieving East Coast-West Coast parity and diversifying cargo mix. With this, we are swiftly moving towards a balance between the West Coast and East Coast, which now improves to 62-38 from a level of 74-26. Our cargo basket continues to see an all-India growth and constitutes 38% container, 50% dry bulk, and 12% liquid cargo. Other products like LNG and LPG that we have added to a cargo basket continues to strengthen our portfolio. Now, let me share some segment-wise cargo data. First of all, on container cargo. During the full year of FY22, APSEZ handled a total container volume of 8.2 million TEUs, a growth of 14% compared to an all-India container growth of 11% on a year-on-year basis. Mundra Port continues to be the largest container handling port with 6.5 million TEUs, which is 15% higher than JNPT. Our strategy of providing multiple entry and exit points by diversifying our geographic footprint, single window service to the shipping line, integrated supply chain solutions to the end customers, along with partnering large shipping lines to our JVs, enables continuous gain in market share. Mundra currently has a market share in excess of 33% in all India container volume. Our efforts to strengthen the position in container segment, add newer locations, and offer unique solutions to shipping lines resulted in the addition of 9 new container services, of which 6 services were added at Mundra Port and 1 each at Azira, Kattupalli, and Ennore ports. This will contribute around 245,000 TEUs of container volume per annum. Talking about dry bulk cargo, during the year, the total dry bulk cargo handled was 156 million metric tons, which is a jump of 42%. Within this segment, minerals grew by 97%, coking coal by 39%, and a total coal volume registered a growth of 32%. To enrich and diversify our cargo basket, we have added 4 new cargo types, namely sulfur at the Dahej port, dolomite at Kattupalli port, gypsum at Krishnapatnam, and LD slag at Dhamra port. We have added new customers at Dhamra port, including names such as Bhushan Power and Steel Limited. Krishnapatnam port, which was acquired in FY21, continues to see the adoption of best practices of APSEZ. We are enhancing capacity by debottlenecking and mechanizing operations at a brisk pace. For the first time, limestone was handled through a mechanized conveyor, improving port productivity and efficiency, at the same time helping increase margin portfolio for the products. During the period, we have added 12,000 square meters of covered godown to handle agri products. We continue to add new customers at Krishnapatnam port, and this will go a long way towards achieving the full potential of the port. Moving to liquid cargo, APSEZ handles liquid cargo including crude of 34.7 million metric tons, implying a growth of 19%. All India liquid cargo handling ports registered double-digit growth. This was led by higher volume handled at Mundra and Mundra ports. As a part of our cargo diversification, we have added LPG and LNG cargoes into our portfolio. In FY22, APSEZ handled 1.5 million tons of LPG and LNG. With the rise in demand for gas products as a greener source of energy, we expect to see volume growth in this segment as well. I'm happy to inform that the LNG terminal, which was under construction at Dhamra Q4 of FY22, we've handled 78 million metric tons of cargo in Q4 FY22, which is a year-on-year growth of 7%. This growth was led by Dahej, which grew by 58%, Ennore 51%, and addition of Gangavaram. Cargo volume without GPL was subdued on account of lower imports of coal by key IPPs and lower trading coal volume, which was impacted due to higher commodity prices, disruptions in the supply chain. We believe that the revival of demand from coastal power plants due to increase in power demand and softening of prices globally, coal volume in coming quarter is likely to improve. I will now hand over to Vikram to update you on the logistics vertical. Over to you, Vikram.
Thank you, Subrat. Good evening to everyone on the call. Let me give you an overview of the performance at the logistics vertical. Speaking about logistics operation in the last 1 year, Adani Logistics has witnessed a 29% increase in rail volume as compared to last year. That is 3,13,273 TEUs versus 4,03,737 TEUs. This has been achieved with recommencement of Kila Raipur Logistics Park operations in December 21. We have also commissioned Nagpur Multimodal Logistics Park in December 21. With this, we now have a strong Central India presence and have 6 multimodal logistics parks. Furthermore, the logistics parks at Birochin Nagar, Talojat and Panipat are under development as per plan. GPWIS vertical continued its growth trajectory, and with new circuits added from mines to power plants, the bulk cargo transportation is gaining momentum and helped us achieve a 100% growth in financial year 22. During the period, Adani Logistics handled 8.81 million metric tons against 4.41 million metric tons in financial year 21. We have also commissioned 13 new rigs during the period. With that, we have 23 GPWIS rigs in our stable, with 2 more rigs to be added by quarter 1 FY23. Adani Logistics now operates 75 rigs as against 61 rigs in financial year 21. We will continue to add rail assets as we expand our network footprint and scale up in existing and adding new circuits. Coming to Adani Agri Logistics, 3 projects of 150,000 metric ton capacity at Panipat, Kanauj and Damora have been completed last financial year. Darbhanga and Samastipur projects totaling 1 lakh metric ton capacity are under construction and progressing as per plan. In warehousing, our new Grade A warehousing facilities at Mumbai, Indore, Palwal, Ranoli, Kochi and Virochin Nagar are under construction, totaling 4 million square feet, which will be commissioned by quarter 4 FY23. We have successfully signed and closed deals for 0.8 million square feet cumulatively. Furthermore, we are also in final stages of signing LOI with clients for 0.5 million square feet built to suit warehouse. Adani Logistics is on its trajectory to emerge as a leading company in Grade A warehousing with the commencement of new projects while also focusing on strategic acquisition for warehousing. We are working in line with our vision to become an end-to-end integrated logistics service provider in India by creating logistics infrastructure, including multimodal logistics parks, warehouses, grain silos, and complete rail solutions for container, liquid, grain, bulk, and auto cargo. I will now hand over to Charanjit to update you on the ESG performance of APACZ. Over to you, CJ.
Thank you, Vikram, and very warm wishes to everyone on the call. APACZ's ESG effort in FY 2022 gained momentum on various fronts. On the environmental side, the focus is now three prong. First, achieving carbon neutrality by 2025. Second, targeting water supply from non-competing sources only. And third is progress towards biodiversity positive status. As emphasized by our CEO, we are marching firmly towards our target of achieving carbon neutrality with various initiatives underway. Besides retrofitting of RTGs and key cranes, APSEZ has also initiated transitioning of ITDs from IC engine to battery type. We are also actively exploring low carbon solutions for each stacker, empty container handler, shunter, dumper and other equipment. With India being a water-stressed nation, we are making necessary efforts to ensure that our water supplies are from non-competing sources, such as treated non-potable water, harvested rainwater or desalinated water. Around 50% of our total water requirement is now being met from such sources. This lower proportion versus the last year is due to inclusion of Krishnapatnam. With the efforts being made at our end, this number will be in the range of 80 to 90% by 2025. APSEZ has also intensified its effort towards biodiversity improvement. The company is credited for the management of 6,000 plus hectares of mangrove plantation a record by any corporate in India. Mr. Karan Adani has already announced for another 2,000 hectares of mangrove plantation to further support our carbon neutrality objective. We continue with our endeavor of supporting the communities in line with group's agenda of growth with goodness. Our social initiatives are currently reaching to around 800,000 people and we are targeting to take this to a million people in the next few years. Our third party impact assessment of some of the key community focused initiatives is in progress and will enable us to have a more targeted approach. More importantly, we have ended the financial year with outperformance on most of the environmental and social metrics against our targets. From the corporate governance perspective, APSEZ's decision to make three of its key board committees, that is Audit Committee, Nomination and Remuneration Committee and the Corporate Responsibility Committee, fully independent is a strong reflection of companies' management walking the talk to achieve ESG leadership. Not many companies in India and other emerging markets have achieved this feat. With this, now let me hand over to Mr. Karan Adani to update you on the financial performance. Over to you, Karan. Now speaking of the financials, consolidated revenue grew by 27% year-on-year to rupees 15,934 crores in FY22. This is backed by 21% growth in port revenue, logistics revenue growth by 26%, as well as higher SEZ and port-led development income. During the corresponding year, total EBITDA grew by 22% to rupees 9,811 crores. Speaking about port operations, in FY22, revenue increased by 21% year-on-year to rupees 12,964 crores. EBITDA for the same period grew by 21% year-on-year to rupees 9,120 crores in line with the increase in cargo volume. Overall port EBITDA margins stood at 70%. Speaking of the logistics business, in FY22, revenue from the logistics business stood at rupees 1,208 crores, a growth of 26% on account of improving container and bulk rail and terminal traffic, along with improvement in rolling stock both for container and bulk cargo. Our efforts to diversify by adding bulk cargo, elimination of loss-making routes and operational efficiency resulted in a significant increase in EBITDA and margin. While logistics business EBITDA grew by 41% to rupees 320 crores, the EBITDA margin expanded by 283 basis points to 26%. On a year-on-year basis. During the year, profit before tax stood at rupees 5,946 crores and PAT stood at 4,795 crores. During the period, the tax incidence was lower
due to the lower composition of profit from APSEZ standalone entity, which was impacted by the forex move. During the year ending 31st March 2022, trade receivables reduced by 10% from ₹2,386 crores to ₹2,170 crores. This is despite a 27% increase in total revenue. Accordingly, DSO has improved by 29% from 69 days to 49 days. During the period, net debt to EBITDA remained within the guided range and stands at 3.4 times. The said net debt to EBITDA does not include EBITDA and cash from Gangavaram Port. If included on a pro forma basis, the net debt to EBITDA stands at 3 times. Net debt to equity during the year has improved to 0.85x in FY22 compared to 0.89x in FY21. APSEZ continues to maintain its investment grade rating, and two of the three major international rating agencies, namely Moody's and S&P, have maintained a stable outlook. The company has been maintaining key ratios within the desired range while growing rapidly. Moving into FY23, I am confident of APSEZ's growth prospects that are supported by a number of catalysts. Firstly, India's GDP growth rate for the year is estimated to be 8-9%. And with the government targeting to make India $5 trillion economy by mid of the decade, we see a good boost to India's exports. Increase in iron and steel trade, which can be attributed to China's decision to cap its steel production to the 2021 levels and absence of exports from Russia. This is likely to boost coking coal import in India. Another key growth catalyst is the increase in India's power demand and a higher fuel cost allowed as a pass-through by some states, thereby resulting in a recovery in coal volumes at port. Then there are some APSEZ-specific catalysts, such as the start of operations at Gangavaram Container Terminal and Dhamra LNG, wherein we have already signed delivery contracts. Similarly, for our logistics business, we have signed some leasing contracts for the warehousing facility where the construction was started in FY22. Our cargo volumes in March and April are a good reflection of the improving momentum. Considering the mentioned catalyst, we are guiding for volume for FY23 to be in the range of 350 to 360 million metric tons. This will translate to consolidated revenue to be in the range of 19,200 crores to 19,800 crores. Consolidated EBITDA to be in the range of ₹12,200 crores to 12,600 crores. Port revenue range of ₹16,700 crores to 17,000 crores. Port EBITDA to be in the range of 11,600 crores to 12,000 crores. Logistics business to generate a revenue between 1,500 to 1,600 crores. Capex for the period to be in the range of 8,500 to 9,000 crores. Free cash flow from operations after adjusting for working capital changes, capex and net interest costs during the period is expected to be in the range of 1,400 to 1,700 crores. Net debt to EBITDA is expected to be in the range of 3 to 3.5x. The board has recommended a dividend of 20% of PAT for the year, which is as per the dividend distribution and shareholder return policy. In conclusion, let me summarize our performance in FY22. It has been a stellar year for APSEZ on multiple fronts. This includes a record cargo volume, organic and inorganic investment, and the strategic partnerships formed during the year. It also marked a critical point in APSEZ's transition from a port operator to a transport utility. We believe that APSEZ is all set to emerge as a proxy to India's growth story of becoming the third largest economy in the world. With a zeal to make India an alternative manufacturing hub, the Government of India is making significant initiatives to boost the country's infrastructure, which is likely to boost the country's economy in the coming years. The analyst estimates are expecting India's GDP to grow at higher than various other key emerging economies. APSEZ, with a formidable footprint along the entire shoreline of the country and with access to over 90% of the country's hinterland, is all set to ride this growth wave. Our investments in logistics infrastructure, including a network of multimodal logistics park, container and bulk rolling stocks and warehousing facility, are enabling us to reach the customer scale. To enhance customer service, we are integrating technology into our infrastructure platform for a tailor-made single-window solution and capture a higher wallet share. I'm sure with all this, we are on track to achieve our FY25 business growth targets. Let me conclude by saying that our focus on customer and sustainability will enable APSEZ to achieve its growth ambition and become a global role model. With this, we can open the lines for question and answer.
Thank you. If you would like to ask... If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad, or alternatively, you can ask a text question. Our first question today comes from Ebrahim Aya from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for taking my calls and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have a few questions regarding the guided CapEx for the upcoming year. So you guided around 8,600 crores worth of capex, and you've reduced, you know, free cash flow to around 1,400 from this year, which was around 6,400 without Gangavaram. How is the company looking to sort of fund this capex? Are we looking to take on incremental debt, and are we looking for any kind of equity infusion coming in line with, say, what we've seen for other sister companies in the Adani Group? And also, just as a follow-on to that question, how has your engagement been with the rating agencies on maintaining the investment grade rating? Have you sort of recently discussed it with them pertaining to current results and the increased sort of debt that you've taken over the last year?
Sure. Thank you very much. Let me just first answer your question on financing of this capex. I think if you look at the numbers, it is very straightforward. We have sufficient amount of cash in the books to finance this. Having said that, if you look at the internal accruals during this year, those are also sufficient to finance on a standalone basis to finance the capex guidance what we have given. Coming to your second question on the rating agencies, I think we have always maintained that we will stick to our guidance in terms of having EV by EBITDA and net debt to EBITDA in the range of 3 to 3.5 till date. Over the, if you look in the past 5 years, we have managed to maintain it. And there is no any concern from any of the rating agencies because we seem to be in a sufficient, we seem to have sufficient liquidity, and we have managed to maintain our expenses and profitability in the given range in order to finance our capex. So we don't see any change in terms of the net debt to EBITDA ratio guidance what we have been giving.
Got it. So even with the increased amount of debt, the agencies are still, you know, comfortable with what the path that the company is taking, even with, you know, debt increasing over the year by...
Hi everyone. Apologies. We got disconnected. So I was answering your last question in terms of our engagement with the rating agencies. We continue to engage with all the rating agencies on a regular basis. And there have been no specific concerns, because if you look to that debt position, and the net debt position at half year and at full year, they have nearly stayed at the same level. So none of the rating agencies has raised any sort of concerns.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you very much.
The next question today comes from Ambrish Rathi from T. Rowe Price. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manasin. Thank you for your presentation. A couple of questions. Firstly, can you remind us how much money needs to go out for Gangavaram, the full acquisition in FY23?
Hi, the Gangavaram deal which is pending for NCLT approval for acquisition of 58% stake from the outgoing promoters is going to happen through share swap. The original amount of earlier amount of 41% has already been acquired, and that amount has already been paid in FY22. So in FY23, we do not expect any outgo of cash on account of this transaction, as it is happening through share swap.
Appreciate it. Thank you. The other question was around the Sarjuga Rail Corridor. Where is two-part question. Firstly, what was the EBITDA contribution from this asset in FY23? And two, under which line item is this income book? Like ports, logistics,
so this is
where does it actually fall?
This is in ports. So, and the contribution is around 500 crore, 400 to 500 crore.
That's the EBITDA contribution?
Right.
Okay, understood. And final question around the Myanmar sale. It was touched upon in the initial comments, but any guidance on the timelines around this?
In November, we have guided that we will try our best to complete the investment by end of June. So we continue to make effort in that direction. As Mr. Karan Adani mentioned on the call, the SPA is already signed, and we are hoping that all the formalities in that regard will be completed within the given time. So we, at this point in time, we seem to be largely on track. Of course, PCs related, and we are just waiting for the buyer to comply with those. And once that deal is concluded, we will announce that to the market.
Understood. Sorry, one final one. The CapEx number that you mentioned, and there's a reasonable jump in the warehousing side. How discretionary is this, or have the purchase agreements for some of these warehouse locations / square foot already being signed, so it's not discretionary anymore? Just wanted to know how granular or discretionary this CapEx is.
So as Karan Adani has also mentioned on his previous call, that current number what you see is that for 9 million square feet. And our earlier guidance, we have said that out of the 60 million square feet, roughly 30 will be through organic route and remaining 30 through inorganic. So you can see that over the next 3-4 years, you can see a continuation of this of 9 to 10 million year-on-year basis. For this 9 million which we are talking of and is guided for FY23, this is almost close to 100% committed for the year.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question today comes from Pavitra Sidinran from Apollo. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, Adani team. Thanks for the call. I have a few questions. One is, can you talk about the latest status of the Vizag, the arbitration there, and any latest updates on what impact that's having on your ability to qualify to wait for some of the other government terminals?
And the second question?
I have a few. So the other one is on CAPEX. So understand it's a significant jump over what was incurred in FY22. So this 23,000 crore, the total CAPEX number, is that going to be spent over a three-year period, and given, you know, this large CapEx outlay, you at the balance sheet can still take on, you know, large potential large acquisition, like say for instance a Container Corp, or that is sort of now in the back burner and the focus is on organic growth. That's on the CapEx. If you can provide some color, that would be helpful. And lastly, on the vault, I had a question on the growth assumptions and growth expectations as well for FY23. The on a like-for-like basis, FY22, correct me if I'm wrong, but the growth was about 6%, right? I mean, if I include Krishnapatnam full year performance last year, so it's like around 6% growth. So if you can walk us through, you know, what gives the confidence that growth will be around 14-15% next year, so that will be helpful. And then I have two more on just some numbers related question. I'll ask that after your answer.
Sure. So let's do it this way. We'll take the CapEx first. Then we will take the growth and the arbitration issue. This is the sequence which we'll take. Let me speak first about the CapEx. With respect to the jump which we are talking about, I can divide the current CapEx into three broad components. And if you look into the slides 37 to 40, I've tried to provide the details. Now, the first thing about the CapEx is only 50% of the total CapEx for the logistics space. That is primarily, say, weighted towards warehousing, a component which wasn't there in the past years. 2,500 crore of CapEx, which you are seeing, is for the warehousing. And this is completely in line the targets and the guidance what we have given to the market a couple of years back, that we will complete or we are targeting for at least 30 million square feet of warehousing capacity through organic route. So that is a major chunk. Now, the second important component of the CapEx what we are announcing is about the container facilities. If you look to where these are being added, there are three locations, Mundra, Gangavaram, and Dhamra. Mundra are existing facilities. The container terminals are running at 90-plus capacity. There's a clear demand from the customer side, and at the same time, that is also being facilitated by the railway lines that have been built. So is a demand, and we know that customer is waiting. So as a result, we are building in this additional container terminal at Mundra. Speaking about Dhamra and Gangavaram, again for Gangavaram, to highlight that we have a clear demand. Actually, we have a tie-up to the container facility, which is coming up into commissioning this year. So already, without the facility being commissioned, we have a tie-up of 150,000 TEUs as we stand today, and that is likely to increase in the coming months, even before the commissioning of the facility happens. So, and third is again, the Dhamra location. We have been talking about it for last few years, that there is a requirement of container facility, again, being guided by the customer requirement. Particular two locations, both Gangavaram and Dhamra, are very strategic in terms of serving the customers on the east. If you look to the countries, these are the key hubs with respect to serving the entire east of India, Bangladesh, Nepal, and the entire BIMSTEC region. So there is a requirement. We can see that requirement, and that's the reason we are adding the container facilities as those specific locations. The other part of the container CapEx is going into Vizhinjam and Colombo. Again, this is as per the announcements which have been made in the past few years. So this is also not a new CapEx and is in line with the past trend. And we have missed a big opportunity this time with respect to if the Vizhinjam was already commissioned. We could see that how the cargo from Colombo port has got transferred to India. So there was an opportunity. And we have behind schedule, so we now want to complete it as quickly as possible, and this facility will be commissioned in the next year. Other portion of the port capex is primarily on bulk side, and 50% of that is also focused in the Dhamra port alone. This is for mechanization of berth B4, as we call it. This is primarily focused at improving the efficiency. It will result in higher, you can say, turnover round for us, which means the revenues will increase, and also the EBITDA margin for that specific port will increase. Also, a section of this CAPEX is for adding a railway line or completing that railway line, which will further to the cargo volumes at that specific port. So does it answer your query on CAPEX? Anything specific you want me to cover beyond what is stated? So let's go on the second aspect, which is about the arbitration. I'm just passing on Mr. Subrajji. He'll answer you that specific question.
Good evening again. On the Vizag arbitration case, the matter is presently sub judice between Vizag port and the Adani Vizag terminal. Regarding your question that we've been disqualified at other locations, I'd like to clarify that hitherto the Vizag, we had had two instances of bidding coming up at Paradeep, and through the intervention of the court, and since the matter is now sub judice, I would be reticent on that, except saying that we were permitted to participate at Paradeep port. We have been permitted to participate at Kandla port. We were permitted to participate in Tuticorin port in all the opportunities. So the court case and the arbitration is not really a setback. It's just about that it is under sub judice at the moment. While I speak so, we have already received an LOI for a terminal to develop a 5 million bulk cargo terminal at Haldia, which we are keen to start. The LOI has been since received, and we will be signing the concession agreement very soon. And while all this has been going on, we have also been declared the successful bidder for developing a greenfield port at Tajpur in West Bengal. So to sum up, none of the arbitration at Vizag and the subsequent court cases have not really affected us. We will be participating as we have been permitted in all the opportunities of the monetization program that are coming through in the major ports.
Let me also now take the third question with respect to visibility on growth and how confident we are in that regard. If you look to the last year, the growth was primarily impacted due to low volumes of coal. That too at two of our key ports. One is Mundra. Second is Krishnapatnam. So what we are seeing now, because of the change in the Government of India's stand and Government of India, this coal volumes were impacted for the imported coal because of the high coal prices. Now what Government of India has done is it has allowed for temporary change in the power purchase agreement, where this cost will be as a pass-through to the customers. Generating companies are in position to pass this incremental cost on the fuel to the buyers. It means that the coal volumes should ideally pick up. We have already seen that pickup in the month of April, and it continues also in May. So with the change in regulation, the coal volumes will recover to the previous year's levels, which I'm talking of FY 2021. It gives us the confidence that whatever the loss, or you can say the reduction, which we seen in the bulk cargo, primarily coal, will be back at the similar levels of the past. Second important driver in that regard is iron, because the Indian market continues to be buoyant. What we are seeing is a good demand for iron and steel industry, both in the domestic market, and there is a gap in the international market. For iron, India needs pet coke, and 50% of the total pet coke requirement is imported. So, what we currently see is an increase in the export for iron and steel, at the same time increase in imports for the pet coke. There could be some increase for iron ore. Having said that, just a bit of a disclaimer here that the government in the last week has increased the duty on the iron ore, which means that the buoyancy which was expected to be in the iron ore exports, that might come up a little low from what we were earlier expecting. But with respect to the overall exports of iron steel products and the import of pet coke, we remain to be quite confident that there is a significant demand. Third factor which we are quite confident about is the growth of the Indian market. The Indian market continues to be very strong from a domestic perspective. And that does mean, and with the, you can say, with a bit of a geopolitical concerns in Europe, and that also means some sort of concerns in Sri Lanka, it is likely to benefit India in multiple ways, and we are already seeing those benefits accruing to us in the month of April and May. So we continue to be confident of our growth. More importantly, we have also acquired OSL in the month of May. That acquisition got completed, and that also brings in an additional revenue of 600 plus crores from the current set of operations. That's you can say, a quick summary of why we continue to be buoyant as to we will meet the guidance what we are which we are giving for this current year.
Got it. Thank you so much for all the detailed answers. I got cut off in between, but joined back in, and I think I managed to hear everything. Thanks for that. The other two questions I had was on the cash outgo for the Ocean Park acquisition. How much was that, and what is the addition that was taken on?
So that EV was around 1,700 crores with a net debt of 300 crores. That has been concluded on 11th or 12th of May, and you will see that in the Q1 numbers.
Got it. And the last question is on the net debt, right? I mean, if I look at one of the slides which has the net debt progression year on year, so despite the free cash flow, the net debt has gone up by around 4,500 crores. Why was that? Is there any acquisition debt added on? I think Sarguja was quite small, but how do you explain that increase in net debt?
See, the net debt number, if you look, given the acquisitions of 11,000 crores during that year, so we had a 4,000 crore capex, had 11,000 crores of acquisitions. Of course, some of that was funded through shares, if you see the largely what we have done during that year, so that's also the increase in net debt, and especially the gross debt is explained also on the slide 24. Is that
It is not fully clear, but I can maybe send you an email later. That's fine. Easier on that. Thank you. That's all from me. Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question today comes from Asmita Sidhu from MetLife. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for your presentation today. Most of my questions have been answered. I just have one on kind of the acquisition outlook for 2023. I know you've mentioned that you do have some assets that are currently being developed. Do you have any potential deals or potential assets you're looking to acquire? Could you touch a little bit on your Tajpur port from the West Bengal? What's the status of that bidding process? Has it been completed? Is it still kind of in bidding process? Any details would be helpful. Thank you.
Yes. So let's go with the Tajpur first.
Yeah. So good evening again. At West Bengal, which is a very critical entry into the east and the northeast, and the fact that it's in proximity to all the steel plants and a very huge consuming steel industry, get two assets. One, we've received an LOI at Haldia, and we'll be signing a concession agreement for a 5 million ton dry bulk terminal. Tajpur, the bidding process has already been completed. The diligence is presently being undergone at the government level at West Bengal. We participated, have been declared as the successful H1 bidder, and we're expecting to sign the concession agreement by the end of Q1 or just about into Q2. And that would give us a deep draft port, which will be at Tajpur in the district of Midnapore and West Bengal.
So let me also take your question about the acquisition. See, we have been saying this for the past many years, that we continue to evaluate possible opportunities and the available assets in the market. And whenever we get any asset at a reasonable price, I'm very happy to acquire it. Now, with respect to the availability of funds, I think we have sufficient internal cash generation during this year. Despite the capex, we still are capex of 8,600 crore. We are still net cash positive. And alongside, we also have a good amount of capex currently as of 31st March 2022. So we remain to be in a very confident situation in terms of not only meeting our organic growth targets, but also the inorganic growth. And we have sufficient liquidity in our view to achieve our growth plans.
All right. Thank you very much for your answers.
Thank you. The next question today is a follow-up question from Abram Iyer from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sorry, just a quick follow-up question on the Myanmar SPA. How much consideration is sort of expected here? You mentioned that, you know, we are sort of recouping our investment on the same, but do you have any idea on could you give us an idea on the specific amount that could be recouped here?
So, see, as we have stated that we will recover the investments, what we have already made, so and whatever the remaining is in progress. So, according to that, we will recover close to 250 to 60 million. That's the investment, and we will be in position to recover that based on the share purchase agreement that is currently signed.
Got it, sir. To 250 to 60 million USD, right? Thanks for the clarification. And just a second question, sir, if I may. With the export duty on you know, steel products and some of the iron products, how much does this volume flow through the ports that we monitor? So what kind of sort of potential impact could this be if this continues in the entire financial year? Any volume impact estimate that you can tell us?
Well, it's too early to take any. The duties have been announced just about 2 days back. You would be aware that the steel ministry has already positioned itself that the consumption of steel in Europe arising out of the war situation being very high. So I'm sure there would be some kind of announcement to rethink, but it's too early. Just to give you a color, already the idea is that domestic steel consumption is very high in the country. We have not been a net exporter of steel, so we don't see that influencing our volumes. Linked to that, we did the volumes about close to 1.6, 1.7 million tons at Dhamra, just about a million tons at Gangavaram, Krishnapatnam together. So it's not it's absolutely no volume impact as far as duties are concerned. We don't see this impacting our volumes at all.
Got it, sir. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. There are no additional questions waiting at the moment, so I would like to pass the conference back over to the management team for closing remarks.
So, thank you everyone for joining this call. In case you have any further questions, feel free to get in touch with us. I will be happy to answer any other questions which are still pending. So, thank you and very good evening, and see you in the next call.